7:35 in the morning here on Upfront. I'm Kat Brooks.
And I'm Brian Edwards-Teeger.
And last week, parents, teachers, and school support staff went to the school board meeting at Oakland Unified to protest additional school closures. Specifically, the focus right now is on the closure of Kaiser Elementary. And it got violent. OUSD police, as well as Oakland Police Department, attacked protesters. Six people were arrested and several more were injured. We're joined this morning by Keith Brown, the president of the Oakland Education Association. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
And also by Sarah Jarman, an Oakland Unified School District parent with Kaiser Elementary, correct?
Yes.
Saru, good morning. So, Saru, I want to start with you. Can you just lay out for listeners what happened?
Yes, sure. And I want to also clarify, our fight is actually not about Kaiser. It's about Oakland school closures in general. There's been decades of attack by the charter school industry and charter school billionaires to take over our district and shut down our schools. And Kaiser's just the latest in a long list of schools that have been closed. And so what we've been doing is protesting peacefully at board meetings and city council meetings, calling attention and demanding that they stop all school closures until Schools and Community First is voted on November 2020. That would bring more funding to all schools across the state. And also that they end the school to prison pipeline and take money away from the planned probation camp on which Alameda County is planning to spend $75 million. And instead put that money into our public schools. So we've got a list of demands. We've been peacefully protesting. We've been going to board meetings and trying to raise our voices. We've been singing with musical instruments and chanting. And so why, when we walked into Wednesday's school board meeting, there would be 15 or 20 police officers with batons and guns was beyond us when we were walking in with guitars, musical instruments, and signs. We, during the meeting, once again, rose up to start singing and chanting as we always do. And as we did, they had put a metal barricade blocking us from communicating with the board, from speaking to the board, when this is a public school board meeting and a public school board that is supposed to be listening to and interacting with the people who elected them, with their constituents, with not just parents and teachers, but also children. So many of us brought our children. I brought my children. So we crossed the metal barricade, which was very far away from the board. And the minute we crossed it, we were descended upon by Oakland School Police and OPD. There were police with batons who hit first grade teachers and parents. One person ended up with a cracked rib, several with bruises all over their bodies. And in my case, four officers threw me to the ground, smashing my knee. I was in extreme pain. They bent my shoulder, my arm all the way back and put pain compliance measures onto my shoulder. I was screaming in pain. They carried me out of the room and took me to the parking lot where they called an ambulance and then strapped me to the gurney to get into the ambulance with handcuffs and metal straps across my body, all while in extreme pain. And I was taken to the emergency room in custody. I then at the emergency room, the cops were joking with triage officers that I had made it all up in front of me, that I had fabricated the whole thing until the doctor arrived, cleared the room, told them these were serious injuries, ordered an x-ray, and then they cited and released me. And after that, I was told the police tore my ACL, MCL, and meniscus. I am on crutches. I will have, it's a 6 to 9 months recovery. I will likely need surgery. We are suing the district for this excessive, ridiculous, outrageous behavior. And I want to say the thing that is most outrageous to me in fighting for all of Oakland schools to stay open, that my children and our children had to witness what happened, that they were severely traumatized. My children were standing right behind me. They are 7 and 9. Another 9-year-old was pushed by the police. For them to witness this, for them to experience this, it's not just a travesty of public school education. It's also an indication of how this public school board is running scared and has something to hide, which is that they are being bought out by the charter school industry.
And in the midst of this, Saru, Chief Jeff Godin said at a news conference that he was still reviewing video of the incident but denied that they used any force on you. Your response to that?
We have so much video of the force that they were using, not just on me, but on other public school teachers, on other parents. We have so much video, and we have footage. We have, you know, it's just absurd for them to deny it. And we have so much video footage that's now been circulated hundreds of thousands of times, you know, and shown on the media. It's amazing to me. Even the superintendent claimed that none of us requested medical care. When I was taken to the ambulance, into the emergency room in an ambulance in custody, how could the district say, you know, even claim that none of us requested medical care? I mean, it's absurd, the lies that they're putting forward, when we have such direct evidence, both video footage and the fact that I was in the ER with police on Wednesday night.
Keith, I want to turn to you about this larger issue. I believe it was last year, a year and a half ago, the school put out a hit list, essentially, of 24 schools that it had planned to close. But they wouldn't confirm that those were actually the schools. They were just sort of saying maybe. But it seems that the district is indeed working its way down this list.
Yes, and I just want to start off by saying that students are the most hurt by the actions of the superintendent, the OUSD board, and the OUSD police for what the incident that happened last Wednesday. It's just a shame that resources are used to bring in the police during the school board meeting, where those resources should go to the students who deserve them the most. And the Oakland Education Association, together with parents and community, we have been fighting against school closures. And since 2014, 18 schools have been closed in the Oakland Unified School District. And 16 of those 18 schools serve over 60% Black students. And there are 14 of those schools reopened as charter schools, and those charters that replaced the closed schools served fewer than 62% fewer Black students. And yes, the district, they have a blueprint process where they're focusing on closing schools, consolidating schools, which is essentially a school closure, which is happening to Kaiser. And this plan is not a plan that will ensure success for our students, particularly our Black and brown students, where the blueprint process is part of a portfolio model of education, which was brought in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, where it creates a system where schools compete against each other for limited resources. It promotes the closing of schools and the opening of charter schools that are unaccountable to the community. So, yes, the parents and community members and students last Wednesday stood and demanded that they wanted resources for their students to keep neighborhood schools open for our students. And yet the district decided to just silence the community by force. And that is unacceptable. As far as the Oakland Unified School District spending over $6.5 million on the OUSD police, and also last year we had a school board member choke a teacher, which, you know, just that incident had to cost the district a lot of money and legal fees. This policing of our students and the closing of our schools is taking away needed resources from our students. Our students, they need nurses, counselors, school psychologists. We need community schools, not over-policing in our schools, school closures, which lead to the school-to-prison pipeline.
That's the voice of Keith Brown, who's the president of the Oakland Education Association, which represents Oakland School District teachers. I want to clarify something. You're talking about placing blame with both the Oakland Unified School District Police Department, which is its own police department, and with the district. We got a statement from the district saying the three previous meetings of the school board had been disrupted. Was there any evidence that the police were under a different set of orders at this meeting than at the prior ones?
So in that statement that the school board meetings were disruptive, what I saw, and I was a part of two of those school board meetings where parents and community came to the school board meeting using their voice to oppose school closures through peaceful demonstration. The school board meetings are a public forum. Parents, students, teachers have the right to speak out and speak up at board meetings. And also the community has the right to protest at school board meetings. And you do not oppose the public who with violence and force. The school board needs to be an open forum.
Right. My question is, what was different about this meeting? It's not the first meeting with protests. Yeah. I take it it's not the first meeting where people from the audience tried to cross to the dais. Go ahead, Saru.
Go ahead, Keith. I mean, I was going to say what was very different, because we helped to lead all three event in all three meetings, the protests, and again, what we were doing in every meeting, we came with guitars and musical instruments, and we had song sheets. We were singing "We Shall Overcome." I mean, you can't imagine the, you know, we have little children with us. We've never planned anything other than singing and chanting. What was different was that in this board meeting, when we showed up, we were not allowed to bring food and water into the meeting. We were not allowed to bring our guitars and instruments into the meeting. When we showed up, there were many more cops than the previous meetings, closer to 20 cops, and a mix of both Oakland Unified School District and OPD. And there was a metal barricade. I mean, if there's no greater symbol of a board basically saying, we don't want to interact with the public, I don't know then what a metal barricade blocking the public from essentially speaking or communicating with the board. And so it was a very different stance. And when we walked in, the 15 or 20 cops had batons and guns on them. And even before everything went down, several people got up and said, why are there police in this room with children with batons and guns? Why are there this many police in the room? Why is there a metal barricade? Why are we not allowed to have food and drink in the room? And that's never been the case in decades of board meetings. Why are you coming at us with a different stance before we even walk into the room? And it's clear that they did get different instructions. There was a different mentality or different kind of stance of both the district and the police the minute we walked in. And you know, to any comment on their side that we were in any way violent or dangerous, I ask you, when we're walking in with signs and musical instruments and not allowed to have food and water, and they're walking in, they're starting the meeting with guns and batons and a metal barricade, whose stance is dangerous and violent with children present?
Saru, there are already more protests planned. And in response, Sheriff Gudon says that they do have a plan to, quote, deal with those disruptions, end quote. What is your response to that and any concerns about future violence?
You know, I assume that part of their thinking was that they're trying to scare us. And I think they actually have, done themselves a disservice, because our ranks have immensely grown. I mean, the amount of community support that we've gotten since Wednesday is overwhelming. We're barely able to keep up with it. The amount of people that have said they're joining us at the next board meeting or they're joining us at our next action is overwhelming. You know, we started with parents and teachers from one school. We grew to parents and teachers from over a dozen schools. And at this point, we're getting support from both state and national leaders. And so any attempt that they had to try to quell us or stop us or scare us has done exactly the opposite we are now much, much stronger, and we're going to keep at it until they meet our demands to stop all closures, to stop the school-to-prison pipeline, to stop the charter school takeover of our public schools, and to have public oversight over mismanagement of funds in the district. We are going to win. It's clear, given how much things have grown since Wednesday.
I want to turn to Oakland City Council. The group went to, earlier in the week, had gone to a City Council Education Committee meeting where Dan Kalb became a target. Can you talk about what is it you want Oakland to do and why Councilmember Dan Kalb, who represents District 1 in Oakland, became the focus?
Yeah. I mean, there certainly have that meeting that we attended and sang again at and protested. The joint meeting of the City Council and the school board. And there have been council members, for sure, some that have been supportive of our efforts, who are generally supportive of the demands that we have. And in fact, the City Council as a whole had passed a resolution in support of the demands of the teacher strike. And those demands included the stopping of school closures. So clearly the council has put out a stance as a council that they support generally the stoppage of school closures, but individual council members like Dan Kalb have not stood with the parents and teachers in their district when they have protested school closures. They've not stood up or stood alongside us in pushing the board to stop what they are doing, in pushing back against the charter school industry. And so we have been disappointed by school board members, some of them, and their lack of response and their lack of support. They clearly have a platform. They clearly have the ability to stand alongside us. And council members like Dan have chosen not to do that. They've chosen to stand alongside a billionaire-driven corporate charter industry and a school board that is puppets to that corporate-driven charter industry.
Keith, where do we go from here? Oakland has more charter schools per capita than any other city in America. The district says that the reason for school closures is that there aren't enough students to fill up the schools. What is your response?
Okay, but where we go from here, we have an opportunity in 2020 to elect a new school board. We have an opportunity to elect a school board that represents the student, that represents truly investing in our schools, making sure that our students have access to community schools with wraparound services such as counseling and access to nurses, and that we elect a school board that stands strong about ending the school-to-prison pipeline and investing in counselors, not cops. So that's an opportunity that we have in 2020. And again, this movement is growing as far as parents, students, and community together to stand for our students against school closures. Our California Teachers Association president, E. Toby Boyd, released a statement this weekend condemning the actions of the superintendent, the OUSD school board, and the police. And it's important that, you know, we come together and we demand that Oakland Unified School District, they place an immediate stop on their plans to close schools in Oakland. And also, we really need an investigation and to discipline the officers involved in Wednesday's incident. So we must continue to fight. We'll continue to go to the school board meeting, but we need to elect a new school board that will really represent the interests of our Oakland students.
Saru, you mentioned early on in the interview about the Communities and Schools First initiative that will be on the ballot in 2020. Can you break down for our listeners what that is?
Absolutely. So Proposition 13 was a deadly proposition in California during the Reagan years that essentially cut taxes, both for individuals in terms of their property taxes and in terms of corporations and commercial property tax. And that property tax was essential for funding our public schools in California. And we went from being a state that was at the top of the nation in terms of schools and school funding and the quality of our education to, frankly, being at the dead bottom, dead last. And so that proposition devastated our state and our school funding. And Schools and Communities First would restore commercial property tax. So finally, corporations and businesses are going to have to pay the property tax that they always should have been paying. And so there's an opportunity for the people of the state of California to say, we value our public school system. We demand that corporations that benefit from people being educated in this state, that they should pay their share of property tax. The Schools and Community First is happening November 2020. Our top demand is that there be a moratorium on all school closures, including reversing the vote to close the schools that were part of the blueprint, including Kaiser and many other schools that have been voted on to be closed, that all of that be stopped until the people of the state of California have the right to vote in November 2020 to once again refund our public schools and demand that corporations pay their fair share of taxes. So I totally agree with Keith that we have an opportunity to change our school board. But as a coalition, we feel like even before that happens, we must get a moratorium on school closures in order for the people of the state to decide on whether or not our school districts will be funded again. That's number one. Number two, the Alameda County has, at the same time that they're claiming they don't have funding for our public schools, Alameda County has slated $75 million to grow Camp Sweeney, a probation camp that currently has 15 children in it. And so you're going to spend $75 million in anticipation of lots more kids going into probation and at the same time closing public schools that cause kids to get into trouble with the system in the first place. And so we are demanding that that money be transferred from the probation camp to the school district, which would automatically resolve any issues with the need to close any community schools. And part of that school-to-prison pipeline is following the recommendations and amazing plan of the Black Organizing Project, which has demanded for a decade that school police be taken, that the entire idea of policing be removed from Oakland schools. So that is part of our school-to-prison pipeline demand. And then third, at the same time as all of this is happening, we must put a total stop on all charter schools in the district. They are taking over our district. They are trying to make Oakland New Orleans in terms of a complete takeover of charter schools. It's being driven by outside billionaires like Eli Broad and Betsy DeVos. I don't think, you know, everybody in Oakland completely understands that people like Jonathan Klein with Go Public Schools are basically proteges of Eli Broad and Betsy DeVos, who have an agenda of breaking the union, of getting control of the teachers' pensions, and basically decimating our public school system so that they can profit from it. So these are our demands, and they are urgent. And so, yes, we need to focus on getting a new school board. But even before we get a new school board, we need our demands to be met. And that's why our ranks are growing, and we're going to continue with our actions until our demands are met.
Sir, I just have one final clarifying question before I let you go. Based on what you just said, are you saying that you want the district to close all existing charter schools right now, or are you saying no more new charter schools?
I think that needs to be fleshed out, but we right now at this moment are saying no new charter schools. No renewals, no new charter schools.
Okay, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Saru J. Araman, who is an Oakland Unified School District parent. Saru, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
As well as Keith Brown, who's the president of the Oakland Education Association. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
As you mentioned, we did reach out to the Oakland Unified School District for comment on this incident. We got a written statement back from John Sasaki, who's the director of communications. It's lengthy, so I'm not going to read it all. I'll also say no part of the statement makes any comment on or even alludes to anything done by Oakland School District police. It reads in pertinent part as follows, quote, "When the protesters jumped over and pushed back the barriers, the safety of the board directors and staff could no longer be guaranteed, and the board moved the meeting upstairs."
I saw that video. didn't, the only people that looked like they were in danger of being harmed were the people that ended up being harmed, which were parents, teachers, school support staff, and to both Saru and Keith's point, the children that were watching their parents be brutalized.